Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Bringing you
Clippers news 3 days a week, soon to be five, as we creep closer and closer towards the bubble.
Inch to the bubble.
We got a special treat for you today. We're joined by a very special guest, Mike Jaguar.
The Jaguar. I've got my summer Jaguar bubble suit ready.
That seems like it might be a little hot if it's all fur, so I hope you got something figured out.
Oh, I'm shaving. You got to shave. There's no way you go into the bubble all furred up.
That's very true.
The Jaguars got to run. That's the COVID test. Go in nice and unfurry.
A great message for any furry listeners out there. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We took some Twitter Tuesday questions. Thank you to everybody who sent those in ahead of time. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd ever like a chance for your question to get featured on the show, go ahead, send those over to @LockedOnClips, @WillUpdike, @CharlesMockler. Charles generally sends a prompt out on Tuesdays in the morning. However, get at us at any time.
Slow rolling over here, so we're here to answer.
So we're around. And then we talked about him a little bit in Monday's episode. If you haven't listened to that yet, go ahead and check back. But we're talking about Shamit's sophomore year so far and, you know, the possibility for a bounce back as well as, you know, the sort of the change of his role as we've seen it from the huge role that he had last season. And then in shavings, there's some more players who are not going to be going to the bubble and just some other assorted Clippers news. All that and more coming up right about now.
Got to give a shout out to Rock Auto for sponsoring this Twitter Tuesday.
Rock Auto.
So dedicated listener and question asker, Chenny John asks, what is your over under on technical fouls during the 8-game season for Pat Bev, Morris, Trez, Doc, because of course, cursing that the refs will hear due to no fans in the stands. Jag, what are you putting at the line for this? And there probably has to be a line in Vegas on this, I'd assume.
I went deep in my research when I saw this question. So first off, the Clippers as a team were like 16th in the league in techs. But if you look at the top 10, Morris is actually third. And then you have Bev tied for sixth place with like two other people. That being said, it's 8 games. We don't know exactly what these 8 games are going to, one, how they're going to be reffed, and two, you know, are they going to be going 100% all 8 games? Mm-hmm. I'm putting it at 4.5.
That's 4.5. Yeah. Will, what would you take? Would you take the over on that?
I might take the over, and I don't like this because of cursing caveat here, because I think that refs have to let that go just with the loss of any sort of fans or something like that.
For sure.
And just guys being back to playing at a competitive level for the first time in months. You know, I think you might get a little loose. I think you might get a little loose with the expletives.
I think we might see. So there's a thing in soccer that they now made illegal where in certain tournaments, if you got a certain number of yellow cards, you were suspended for the next game, but it cleared your yellow cards for the whole tournament after that. So who's to say that maybe before the 8th game, Doc or one of the players is like, I kind of want to rest for the 8th game. I already got this one tech. Let me just get this tech real quick and not have to play in that next game. I'm fine with it. I mean, that's funny, Jag, you mentioned we're only like a pretty league average team with techs. I'd like to see our numbers for getting techs during nationally televised games.
Like the crazy Houston game?
I wonder if we're number one for nationally televised techs.
Well, I think also too, the Clippers, just because of the Lob City teams, and they have that, and Doc, you have that mentality that they get a lot of technicals. The 8 games I don't see as much as the playoffs because the playoffs
I'm worried.
Well, the playoffs again. Each series is basically a chapter. Mm-hmm. You know, so you don't know exactly what's going to happen from game to game. You know, you could have Doc get thrown out of a game to set the tone to get to the refs. It's more of a long play. You know, with the technical fouls in the playoffs compared to I think these 8 games.
Yeah, that's a good call. The pressures of, and like you said, the reffing, it's going to be interesting to see how that changes even from the regular season to the playoffs. Redondo Mike has a very good question. that actually hasn't really been brought up very much. He wants to know, ever since we got Kawhi, he has heard nothing regarding Lee Jenkins. Is he still part of the Clippers organization, or is it mission accomplished?
He is, right?
Director? Oh, he is. He's title is something kind of like director of assistant player.
It's legacy. Executive director of research and identity. Now, here's the thing. Yes, that sounds, you know, it sounds crazy, but Lee Jenkins was one of the most respected columnists / reporters. And it's not like he just, you know, covered a beat. He was the one that wrote LeBron's I'm Coming Home. He spent a lot of time with players, getting to know them, but also he's up there in regards to respectability of any of the NBA media members. Mm-hmm. And I feel what he was brought in to do, one was to have 2019, you know, that summer in front of them. And what do we do, you know, to improve things to get Kawhi, but also he is a great stabilizer with the press. He knows them. They love him. And you look at the relationship Wojciechowski, you know, Woj has had with, you know, breaking a lot of Clipper stuff over the last couple of years.
I should say also caveat with this, big press members, like people who were let's talk to Lee before we talk to Doc people, not like me.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, there's word that, you know, Woj and Lawrence Frank are tight. Well, you know, we all know Lee Jenkins knows all of these members better than anyone. And he helps, you know, really kind of create that identity, which, you know, research and identity of the Clippers, not just, you know, the little brother to the Lakers.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's probably instrumental in helping to control the narrative, which, you know, sometimes maybe to the chagrin of Clippers fans is like, we're not really getting a whole lot out there. Yeah. But I do think that that's part of the overall strategy. And I'm curious, like, how his role, I would guess, has increased given the current circumstances, like what his relationship is with the players and the press, as, you know, as new developments come, because it seems like, you know, across the league, there's some major new development every single day. And even if the Clippers are going with the strategy of keeping that under wraps, I mean, that's still what he's there for.
Yeah, well, exactly. Because we've kind of talked about, like, I think actually the media, for the most part, the national media could have been way harder on the Clippers this year. And I'm not talking like the random skip, like those kind of things, like the random Nick Wright stuff. Like, that's like weird Kawhi hate. I mean, as a whole, like, the national media could have been a lot harder on the Clips this year with some of these results and some of the play-in stuff. Like, the fact that you know, like that, the weekend we talk about, Will, that the Memphis Knicks back-to-back, like the fact that that wasn't even skewered more is pretty crazy. And I think you're right, Jack.
It didn't really make news even in national media. Like, it was just for Clippers fans, really.
No, it's
really.
And if you look back, like I always say, like, there's in the last 7 years, you have 2013 when Doc comes in. He gets basically the keys to the castle because Sterling's cheap. Next year, Sterling gets – no, that's basically what happened.
For sure, no.
Sterling then, you know, gets booted. Ballmer comes in. Doc is still heavy-handed. 2017 was that year that they became an organization from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And then Lee comes in 2018. And this is a rule too, guys. I think we see a lot more in Major League Baseball. We see in the NFL is almost like a consultant / scout, you know, someone that's been around, that knows these, you know, knows the game, and he does know the game. But again, I think that media component is something that is very, very important, to, especially to control the narrative.
Yeah, the new Clippers regime definitely does understand the power of the press, maybe more so than the last one did.
And I think another part, just one last thing of his thing, it is player specific, and looking at players from a different level than a statistical level, and maybe terms of a team building fit,
peak intangibles.
Yeah, maybe even their like how their presence affects the media relations with the Clippers. And I would be very surprised if his input wasn't heavily weighed in what we did at the trade deadline this year.
I'd argue heavenly as well. I think it holds as much weight.
Well, I totally agree with you, because I feel that that's one because everyone's able to put their two cents in and everyone relies so much on stats, we get caught up that, you know, it's still a game and you still have to have guys that do certain things. You have to have guys that are good in the playoffs, the guys that, you know,
and you have to build a culture.
Mm-hmm, yeah, exactly. A culture is not built on paper. It's not built on stats. It's built, you know, in the locker room.
Man, shout out Lee Jenkins. Hope is, you know, I want to know what Kawhi is doing. I also want to know what Lee Jenkins is doing during this quarantine. Big question from Flawless Clippery. Do you think third and MVP Paul George could have led Toronto like Kawhi did? I'm going to just go on a limb and say no, but that's just me personally.
So last year's Paul George?
Yeah.
I mean, wow, that's a great question. I don't know, man. Kawhi is Kawhi.
Yeah, that's really my only logic as to why I'm saying no, is because I just don't think what Kawhi did was, I mean, not to discredit PG's third in MVP voting, but that was regular season, and Kawhi is an even crazier player in the playoffs. So that's my.
Yeah. I think that we've seen Kawhi take the reins of an entire team. Even though he's like a soft-spoken dude, I feel like we've seen him take the reins of an entire team, maybe more so than we've seen Paul George. I mean, that OKC team it's kind of hard. That was never going to be a team he was really going to be able to take the reins of.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting, and it's not to discredit Paul George, but it goes back to like the team building thing. Like Kawhi, I think is the guy that you need to win a championship, and Paul George is the guy next to the guy that you need to win a championship.
That's a
cool yeah. I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, and when I saw this, I'm like, well, PG's a 1B, not in a bad way. Like, I think when if he was in Kawhi's shoes, I think probably Eastern Conference Finals, which he's been to a couple times. Mm-hmm. I think that is really realistic. Also, you know, you got to bring up how bad were his shoulders, you know, as we were, yeah, you know, towards the end of the year and in the playoffs against the Blazers. But getting back to Toronto, you know, Doc always has said, you got to be good, you got to be healthy, and you got to be lucky to win a title. And that Toronto had all that. I mean,
very true.
look at it, but you do. You know, to win any championship, you need those three things to kind of go your way. And, you know, plus you have Kawhi. And it was a perfect combination.
And then real quick, at Lawler's Law wants us to give them a number. What percent chance do you give the bubble of working? It's kind of vague because I'm not sure what it means when the bubble works.
Yeah, define work.
Yeah. I mean, already I'm going to say, I think I'm going to give it, I guess, 100% because they're going to finish it. So to me, in the league's eyes, that's a win for them.
Yeah. I'm still a little bit up in the air if the season will be able to finish. They are sure as hell going to start it, though, and we'll see what happens from there. I guess it's just going to be interesting to see how the players react. If a major guy ends up getting sick in the bubble, like I have trouble believing that the players are still going to want to band together and steamroll through this, but I could be wrong.
Jag, real quick, what do you think?
100%, unless a rogue COVID Mickey Mouse decides to just go crazy in the bubble.
Don't even put that energy out there.
I really think that, it happens. It goes through unless it just something crazy happens, which you just have players falling off.
And it was just like a wave, like every 15 minutes getting some tweet from that would be a nightmare.
That's it. That's what happens. But you have to, I think, mentally go into the bubble, you know, thinking, okay, someone will come up positive, and odds are it's probably someone that isn't caught right away, maybe, if that makes sense. But once they get there, I think they're fine.
All right.
I'm giving it 80-20. That they'll
80-20. 90-10. Let's go 90-10.
All right.
That we will 100, have a championship.
We got 100, 90-10, and 80-20. We assume that the NBA is determined. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking Shamit's sophomore year, maybe how he can bounce back in the bubble. But first, Will, I have a car. You have 13 cars, I'm pretty sure. Where can we buy parts for these things? I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, wow. The only place to go is rockauto.com, and I'll tell you why. They're a family business. They're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Awesome. Whether it's for your classic or a daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers, which is important to me. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
All right. Shout out to Rock Auto. So Shamit's sophomore year, bit of some hiccups.
C minus right now.
Whoa!
C minus. No, I'm serious. C minus. I mean, he had a couple stretches, that Dallas game in early January. I rewatched that game again. That was phenomenal. And that's what we want from him. We don't expect, but we want from him.
Yeah.
But man, I mean, I think I was DMing with you guys. It's like, okay, you have that great playoffs. Then it's like not playing on Team USA, getting in the feud with the Bill Simmons.
So does the Team USA thing matter though? Like,
yes, I do.
Really?
I think it's, he takes Joe Harris minutes. I mean, you're playing structured international ball. Yeah, he does what Joe Harris does, but he's quicker. And, I mean, I think he probably was banged up, but those are minutes.
He had to have been banged up, I think.
He had to have been, and I think he was. And that, and when he spouted back and forth with Simmons, that's what it sounded like. But so he has that. Then he – you know, basically gets off the slow start, gets hurt to his best buddy, Fred Van Fleet, which is what we need. We expect from Shamit, ironically, is Fred Van Fleet. And then he kind of just comes back and has been inconsistent, had a couple decent games. And now he's, you know, in a ice cream shop without a mascot.
See, the mask pictures are the, I think.
That's what kills it.
Is it a C plus if he wears a mask?
Probably. I mean,
it's a B minus. He's still shooting 39% from three.
Yeah, but he's been inconsistent. I think that's
for sure.
Like, and a lot of that is not on Shamit. A lot of it is on, I think, the team in general has had so many, you know, variations because of injuries, because of Kawhi sitting out. It's hard to get in a rhythm, and it's hard for a guy like Shamit to know your role. But that being said, you know, It's a we, not a me mentality that these guys need. And if something like that happened, that he was lazy, he should be called out for that. But I'm going C minus.
Well, you've kind of talked about how his role has been so jumbled this year so far.
Yeah, it's been jumbled. I mean, I'm giving him a solid C. There hasn't been a market improvement, but I gotta be honest, I have to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt just because his role has changed so much. And, you know, at times coming into the season, we were playing around with the idea of him picking up more point minutes.
Backup point minutes.
Yeah. And honestly, like, he's averaging more points per game than I guess he did over the total of his season last year. He had kind of a freak standout for the time that he was with us. But I don't know. I think that it's kind of more of the same. But, you know, like I said, I just don't see where his path for improvement is on the current team, especially if they're not running sets that are geared towards getting him moving off ball.
Yeah, they got to be for Sham, which is what I think makes it so hard. There's so many mouths.
Yeah, and he works better in actions than he does on catch and shoot. And he's a great catch and shoot three guy, but it's like he works better in that role. And unfortunately, you know, like kicking out isn't it, it's not one of Kawhi's bigger strengths as a passer. And he hasn't really had a whole lot of minutes with Patrick Beverley. The minutes they have played together have been great. But you got to look at the ball handlers. And I think that that is where we run into these schematic issues where we can't get the actions that Landry needs to be successful. So I got to go see. Like, he hasn't done anything wrong, really, to me, in my eyes. It's just his role is so diminished. And I think he's doing the best he can to stay in rhythm.
So I was hoping for Shamet to have kind of a, I thought Shamet could be what I've now dubbed a bubble darling, which is one of the guys who just comes into the bubble and crushes it. You know, there's no fans for whatever reason. And I think Landry might be one of those guys where if there's no fans in the stands, Landry's going to go off. like Landry's going to go off. But now with the positive tests and everything, I think it's just another hiccup. Like, it feels like such a tough year for him that it, in terms of getting in that rhythm. And personally, I have a hard time remembering that he's just a sophomore.
Yes, definitely.
Like, I really do, because the way he conducts himself, the way, and this is all positive, the way he conducts himself, the way he plays is not second year in the NBA guy. Like, he's a super intense dude. But I think if we can't find a place for him, I think he's the most tradable asset on the team right now.
Oh, easily. I mean, he fits in almost anywhere. I guess one last thing that does kind of concern me, just returning to play, is that if he's separate from the team for longer than everybody else, I mean, what's the chance that he's getting more playing time or getting integrated into this system any better?
Well, that's the thing. You know, I feel like if you look at where he fits now, if, you know, not COVID related, if he's able to, you know, get into action, say by the end of the scrimmages, he has Reggie, he has Lou in that second unit. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be able to run that action. And that is going to be beautiful, because then he can just run around. Again, we don't know what the cardiovascular recovery of this is. That's another.
Yeah, right? Because that's a big part of it.
Yeah. He's a quick dude, though.
He's quick. And luckily, he doesn't have any pre-existing kind of cardiovascular. Like, he doesn't have asthma. Like, it's not like Von Miller had asthma. So, like, that is a plus in this whole thing, I guess. But,
yeah, and I think that's a positive that he will have Reggie and Lou both handling the ball. Because most of the season, you just had Lou or Walton Jr., you know what I mean? So, man,
shout out to Eric Walton Jr.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you're on the – like, if Lou is handling the ball and Trez is on the floor, you're kind of invisible if you're Shamet in that scenario.
Yeah.
It's not really the focus. But I like what you said, Jag. I think that's true. I think that in that second unit, we're not going to see him back in the first unit barring something disastrous. There is some opportunity for him there, especially because we still haven't got to see the full extent of the Reggie experiment yet.
Yeah, we've only seen the good.
And I think we're going to see more good than bad. I mean, the guy was in a bad situation. I mean, Van Gundy was Doc 2.0 when it came to being like a VP GM. Yeah. And Reggie had, you know, some good years in OKC, and you need him to fill a role, to get to the hoop, to hit the occasional three. You don't need him to save the day and be, you know, the savior of a franchise.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you're asking him to do that, I think that sample size we saw is more of what we're going to see than a guy that, you know, just chucks shots and makes bad decisions.
I hope he has a good bubble. It could go such a long way for his career too.
I think he's one of those guys who's like, it won't happen this year, but he's one of those guys who gets interesting in the six man of the year debate.
Oh, eventually. I like that. That's a
good call. I mean, think about this. Then this is a giant hypothetical. You guys talking about like Landry being their number one piece. He makes $2 million.
There's a tradable assets. Yes.
$2 million. Yeah. So then you have Lou, who is in contract year next year. That's $10 million. Mm-hmm. You're able to re-sign Reggie in the mid-level, let's say that, bring him back. And then if you want to move those two and get something else, you could. So, Will, to your suggestion, that could happen.
Yeah, that's a get a pick trade right there.
Get a pick, or you know, buy low on someone that you think might be able to help you with $10 million.
That's a good call. And the Clippers have kind of gotten that right so far.
Not coming up, Bertans money, but
almost maybe. Coming up, we're going to be talking in the shaving segment. No one plays for the Nets. We're going to talk
about... The
Wizards shouldn't come back. And then we have some good news for Darius Thornwell. All that coming up right after this.
All right. So we're back with shavings.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So where do we want to start this off? Do we want to start out Clipper-specific stuff? Do we want to start out NBA-wide stuff?
Let's do the first NBA thing first, because the Clipper stuff is a little more fun to end on.
All right. So Bitcoin God Spencer Dinwiddie is not going to be going to the bubble. Another positive test, and he is actually experiencing symptoms, which is troublesome, is worrisome. Four players are out now. And Torian Prince also tested positive today.
Damn.
So what are the Nets doing?
Dude, they just need to stay home. What is the point?
I mean, it's the Nets, and then you have the Bradley Beal.
Oh, dude, the Wizard just so, like
just let Atlanta in. Let Atlanta in. Trae Young, it'll be fun.
Bare minimum, just don't go. Like,
or just put those teams in the East, or put some of the West teams in the East.
Yeah, that'd be a good time. Who cares? Just
spice things up.
Yeah.
Spice it up, baby.
You put Portland and New Orleans there. They're ending up in the Eastern Conference semis. I mean,
oh man,
yeah,
I want
the way,
that
with the way the Eastern Conference is going.
For the pure shit showery, I would love just if the Nets and Wizards opt out, just moving some teams over.
If you're the NBA, aren't you like thinking in the back of your head, how do we get Zion in the playoffs?
They almost did a group stage.
Yeah. Like, how do we get him? Ooh, okay. Let's stick them in as a 7 seed in the East.
That's so funny.
That would be amazing.
I love that idea.
Zion versus Toronto in the first round. That's an upset. What might happen?
Then we could see some Zion versus Siakam debates, which is exactly what NBA Twitter needs right now. So my question for this, after all this news came out, what do you guys think the percent chance is of whatever two teams that meet in the finals, so the Clippers and then probably the Bucks, have of having a 100% rostered team for game one of the finals?
So I don't know. This ties into my 80-20 thing where it's like, if we're unable to keep rosters fully healthy, I gotta be honest, what's the point of continuing? I don't want to watch the NBA finals with the Bucks without Giannis and the Clippers, no Paul George
or
and
Lou,
Kawhi.
Or like
what's the point?
I don't know. Jag, what do you think? What's the percent chance that we get a full 15 and 15 on each side?
I mean, it's already going to these teams are already going to be disjointed. I mean, to some degree. I mean, we don't know how long Shamet will be out. Hopefully he rejoins sooner rather than later. But you already have like Avery Bradley not going to the Lakers. So like you're going to see J.R. Smith and freaking Waiters.
I don't want to see Waiters.
I think if they get through, it'll be 100%.
I hope, man.
If they get through, which is the key.
So now we've heard this post from former doctor, current unregistered nurse, Dr. Tarchi. Is this the most quintessential Clippers gonna clip season ever? From a, of course this happens to the Clippers perspective.
Yeah, of course. How could it not be? Yeah, I mean, just throughout the whole season. I mean, we knew we've had issues with Paul George. We missed Patrick Beverley for a stint. We were really worried about what we were going to do at the point. And then things finally start to work out. We finally have a healthy roster.
6-1 before the break.
and like we're peaking at the exact right time.
Which is hard to do.
If you want to make it the distance in the playoffs. And yeah. It's a curse.
No, it's not.
I love it.
This was all set up for the Lakers. I mean, my gut
wait,
felt
COVID?
Lakers. No, but before COVID, like if this season were to was going to play out, I felt like with LeBron's revenge, with Kobe's passing, went it for Kobe. I didn't know if that Clippers team was going to be able to get together on time.
That's fair.
To be able to beat the Lakers. So from that standpoint, that's what worried me. Now I feel like we get a mini camp. We get
we get those months off.
We get the mini camp is huge with Morris and Reggie and Noah. And then we'll get those exhibition games. I think that this team is in much better shape now, not to mention PG's shoulders. He's
fully healed.
Yeah.
So I'm all in on Clippers now. My gut felt like the Lakers were still going to find a way to win this back then.
Hell yeah. I like that positivity.
I like that optimism. And Kawhi has had more rest than he's ever had in his life.
And we're built. The Clippers are built to improvise right now. We've been improvising all year. And now it's like, all right, I guess we'll plan it out. And then if we have to improvise, I said it on another episode, other than the Heat, just because I have a bunch of fear of Eric Spoelstra, the Clippers are the best team in a pinch. Like a team is like, all right, we're down this player. Who can we slot in? Because we've been doing that all year.
But also from like, you know, a leadership standpoint, like you have a silent assassin in Kawhi, mm-hmm. but two, like, Doc is the perfect coach for this. This is, you know, he thrives under these circumstances. And I don't think there's any coach that would be, you know, that you want in the bubble more than Doc. Am I wrong?
I can't think of another one.
No, I'd agree with that.
He can golf. As long as there's golf, I knew
it would be fine. Oh, and he'll find golf.
That's what I mean. If there's a golf, if all Doc has to do, like, how different is Doc's schedule in the bubble going to be from the regular season of golfing and doing Clippers things? That's all he does anyway. Like, the bubble is built for it. And then just to wrap up, we have to give a shout out to former Clipper great Sindarius Thornwell.
Hey.
Hell yeah. Way to go, Sin. He got a spot with the Pels. Going to be fantastic to see him lock LeBron up to bounce the Lakers from the first round. Do you guys, Sindarius, what do you think of his legacy with the Clippers?
I mean, he was instrumental in that season where we needed something to root for. 17-18,
baby.
We needed something to root for, and I loved rooting for him. It would have been nice to see to have the opportunity to develop him a little bit more. But I was even a fan of like those weird single defensive possessions he would get to play.
4 second spots.
It's like a single serve. It's like a single serve liquor bottle. You know, it's good taste.
I mean, Thornwell, you know, I loved him. I did a segment with him called Every Rose Has a Thornwell. he was, I think, that attempt. And honestly, I thought it was going to pay off to be like the makeup for Malcolm Brogdon the year before.
Damn.
Because they both, you know, had deep runs in the NCAA, were both instrumental in their teams, and both second round picks. And he did a lot of things his rookie year that you thought, oh yeah, he starts hitting that outside shot, he's going to definitely be in this league for 10 years. Mm-hmm. But it just could never really sustain consistency. But he plays D well. You know what you're getting.
Oh, yes, you do. You get a high dribble and good defense.
Yeah, and I'm really happy. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to make many mistakes, if that makes sense.
For sure.
He's not going to give you that offensive firepower you want, but I think
there's definitely a place for him in this league, especially if he continues to play defense at a high level and can possibly even get better as his IQ improves and he reads the game more. As long as he's not like a total black hole on offense like Mo Harkless was for the Clippers this year, I think there's definitely going to be a place for him and a role that could fit possibly on a bunch of different teams.
Hell yeah. Well, that about wraps it up. Jag, thank you so much for being on the show.
No problem. We're not going to do a Shamit replacements?
Oh, yeah. Who do you want to replace for Shamit real quick?
Okay. I got a list. Everyone's going to say bring Derek Walton Jr. back. That's great. I would see what's going on with CJ Miles' wrists. CJ Miles, an interesting name. He played Washington this year, had a wrist surgery in December. That's a guy I would call around about. Whoever you bring in, you need to make sure they do one thing well. They're not going to be Shamit. But you're looking at Shumpert plays great defense. So that's another guy. And another guy would be Gerald Green. Where is he with his injury? Even though, you know, Doc coached him back in the day in Boston, and every time he was a free agent and he had a chance to come to the Clippers, he never signed him. So those are my names. I would try to see what the deal is with CJ Miles.
I like that CJ Miles one. That's an intriguing name.
Yeah, played with PG in Indiana. He had 8 threes last year in a game.
Hey, that's so, Jamal. Okay, now we're getting into the Jamal Crawford. He had 51 in a game territory.
No. Jamal's on my – I love Jamal, but you can't risk that.
Trez wants him back, so who knows what's going to happen.
I love Jamal.
I do too. Where can these wonderful people find your work, sir?
Just go to at MJags24 on Twitter. That's me. I'm going to be hopping around different podcasts and whatnot. So with twins and a full-time gig, it's a lot of work.
I was going to say, I know nothing about that kind of work. So thank you so much for coming on this show. We'll definitely have you on again for some bubble news. Will, anything else in shavings?
Ah, that does it. I mean, we're already doing outros, so we can't circle back now.
Dude, I'm down. I'm circling back. I'm ovaling back. I'm doing everything. So Friday's episode, we might have unregistered nurse Dr. Tarchi join us. Not totally clear on that yet. He's a slippery one to nail down. We have Love, Mary, Quarantine, and I'm sure whatever roller coaster we all get off of between now and then will be discussed. Well, where can these fantastic people find this podcast that we host?
You should check us out on iTunes. Go ahead and subscribe if you haven't already. Leave a rating review. We love it. We're also on Spotify, Deezer, and tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers.
Hell yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you're out there protesting, keep wearing those masks. Keep doing your thing. Keep standing in the streets. We are with you. I have been positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.
And we're clear.